Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I'm just going to take my time this morning. I'm going to start a new series this morning on finances in the Bible. I'm simply going to call it Right on the Money. Because we want to be right on the money, right? And how many knows the Bible is right on the money? So a lot of people get nervous when you talk about money in church. But I'm telling you, there's a lot about finances, wealth, prosperity, and money in this Bible. I haven't calculated it myself, but that Jesus spoke more about wealth and finances than he did heaven or hell. Amen? And so my goal in this whole study is to learn what the Bible has said about finances and wealth and how that can be a blessing in your life. I'm not a financial advisor. Nothing like that. I'm a Bible preacher. And that's all I want to get out of this is what the Bible says. Amen? But I also want to correct our, and I'm including me in it. I want to correct our mindsets. That sometimes we've been taught some traditional stuff in churches that need to just be thrown out about finances and wealth and stuff. So I want to try to correct some of that as the Bible brings it out. Okay? So Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18, this whole passage is the Lord telling Israel, listen, when you get into the promised land and I bless you, and you build houses, and you have great wealth, and you have great influence. When you get over there, don't forget me. Don't forget me. Then we come to verse 18, it says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he, everybody say he. It is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. So when what God is doing is he's saying, when you get over to the promised land, don't think you're all that in a bag of chips and you did it all by your own. But remember, I'm the one who set you in this land, and I'm the one who blessed you, and I'm the one who gives you the power to get wealth. Now, get out your pencil and paper or your iPhone notes or however you want to do this, because I'm going to throw a lot of scripture at you this morning, and I want you to go back and look at these scriptures in your own time and just look it up on your phone, look it up in a real Bible. Not that the phone isn't a real Bible, but you know what I'm saying. Okay? Psalm 35, verse 27. Psalm 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteousness, or my righteous cause rather, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. The Lord takes pleasure when his people prosper. And then finally, 3 John chapter 2. And I know there are theologians and Bible scholars that don't believe it should be applied this way, but let me deal with this just a minute. 3 John 2, John is writing to his recipients of this letter, and he says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Now, this is in the optative case in Greek, which means it's a wish or hope. So some people think, well, since it's a wish, it's like it shouldn't be taken seriously, basically. I just can't swallow that. I believe we should take every verse of Scripture seriously. And I believe this was honestly John's prayer for the people he was writing to. And if it was his prayer for them, then it was his earnest desire. If it appeared in the Bible, it must have been an earnest desire promoted and inspired by the Holy Spirit. So I can't help but believe it's God's will for us to be in health and prosper, even as our soul prospers. Is everybody okay? Are you still breathing? Give me a sign of life that you're ambulatory and have a pulse. Amen. Got your pen and paper out or your iPhone notes or something? Okay. Margaret Thatcher The Prime Minister of England years ago said, no one would have remembered the Good Samaritan if he only had good intentions. He had some money as well. Money serves a purpose. The Bible is filled with financial advice. It's filled with examples of wealthy people. It's filled with stories of wealth and stories of lack. It's filled with wisdom about finances and warnings about finances. The Bible warns us not to set our heart on riches. The Bible warns us not to obtain wealth through unrighteous means. But the Bible also teaches us where wealth comes from and how we should use it. Okay? So in this series, we're going to look at the purpose of money, the essence of it. Then we'll dig further into the meaning of prosperity and lay a foundation for prosperity. And I want all of us to be successful and prosperous. I'm just going to say it. I want you to be successful. I want you to prosper. And I'm going to define this. But I want you to be successful and I want you to be prosperous. What is prosperity? One minister described it like this. The purpose of prosperity is for a Christian to be able to do God's work and to do God's will. How many believe you want to be able to do God's work and do God's will in your life? That is a beautiful definition of prosperity, to be able to do God's work and God's will in your life. And God originally intended for humanity to be very prosperous. If you read in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, when God created Adam and Eve, he set them in a garden and they had everything at their fingertips. It didn't mean they didn't have to create and produce, because God wanted them to use that ability to take dominion over the earth, he told Adam. But nonetheless, God set them in a sphere of abundance to do that. He set them in a sphere of abundance. When he made man, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, he says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God didn't just say, I'm going to make man, and he's going to suffer through this existence here on earth. But God's original intent was to make man and then woman and make them prosperous in this earth realm. And then verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. He made male and female and created them. And then God blessed them. Then God blessed them and he said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every creeping thing that lives and everything that moves on the earth. So God wanted them to have a blessing. He set his blessing upon them. It means he commanded his life and his resources and his approval on their lives. The term blessed is a powerful term in Scripture. It means to cause to prosper. It means to cause to prosper. If you see it later in the life of Abraham, God came to him in Genesis chapter 12, and he says, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. The term is barach in Hebrew, which means to cause to prosper. I will bless you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will make your name great. And what did the Lord do in Abraham's life? He blessed him. I mean, he blessed this man in amazing ways. He blessed this man to where he increased in goods, he increased in riches. He and his nephew both prospered so much they could no longer stay together. They had to go separate ways because they were so blessed. And then God blessed him eventually with a promised son and then a promise for his lineage that would follow after him. God blessed this man. Now, I'm not going to break down the life of Abram or the life of Abraham. It would be too much here. But I just want to give you a couple prerequisites to walking in blessing and then give you four purposes for prosperity in your life. Here's a couple prerequisites. First of all, I want you to know that poverty doesn't produce spirituality. There was a tradition that came into the church years ago that somehow by being broke and poor, you would be more spiritual. And all I have to say about this is I don't find that in Scripture anywhere. And number two, I can testify from my own life. Is anybody in this house this morning that being broke caused me a lot of problems and a lot of stress and a lot of sleepless nights? Y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but you know. Amen? So I don't see in Scripture that poverty produces spirituality. Okay? Psalm 50. For every beast of the forest is mine, the Lord said. The cattle on a thousand hills, I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. What's he saying there? I thought that was an interesting phrase. Listen how Eugene Peterson translated it. If I get hungry, you think I'm going to tell you? Because all of creation and its bounty are mine. In other words, it's never happening. Can somebody shout amen? Amen? So poverty doesn't produce spirituality. Number two, we are allowed to enjoy the material world that God has created without falling in love with it. You hear me? We're able to enjoy, we're allowed to enjoy the world that God has made without falling in love with it and setting our hearts on it. Amen? One qualification for prospering is to esteem earthly things lightly. That's why Paul told Timothy, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. So if God has blessed you and he's given you a lot, enjoy it, but don't set your heart on it. And remember, it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. Oh, hallelujah. You ready? Four things, four reasons why we should prosper. And I'm saying you should prosper. According to my definition of prospering, we all should be prospering. Amen? Number one, you should prosper to be able to do God's work and to do God's will. You should be able to prosper to be able to do God's work and God's will. One man said prosperity is having enough of divine provision to complete a divine assignment. Having enough of divine provision to complete a divine assignment means God has called you to do something in life, and he's going to give you the resources to be able to do that thing he's called you to do in life. That's prosperity. Amen? And I believe the key to your prosperity lies in that thing God has called you to do in life. Because he's gifted you in a certain way, he's designed you in a certain way, he's given you a certain intelligence for something, some area of life, and you use that, you increase that, and you build upon that, and God's going to bless you to accomplish his divine assignment. We know that God wants to send ministers throughout the world to preach the gospel, right? We know the Lord wants to send teams to Peru to see a lot of people get saved and blessed. We know that. Well, it takes money to do that. It takes a lot of money to do that because some people have a selfish mentality, and that is, as I heard jokingly said, one man prayed, Lord, bless me and my wife, my son and his wife, us four and no more. Or how many of you ever heard that's acting spiritual and it's a false humility and they're saying, all I need's enough just for me to get by? Well, if that's your mentality, it's a selfish one. Because if you really wanted to bless the gospel to go around the world, you need enough for you and extra that you can sow into the work of the Lord around the globe. If you wanted to obey the scripture, it said, he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord. So if you want to bless the poor and bless someone in need, it means you're going to have more than just enough for you and your family to scrape by. I'm not downing you. I'm not condemning you at all. I'm trying to help you this morning, amen, to set your sights a little bit higher than you've been setting them. Paul said in Romans 10, how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. God wants you to have enough finances to return the tithe to his house and to bless in offerings above that so that the gospel can go around the world. Do you know every time you give on Sunday morning, it helps us preach the gospel? I'm on 5 different television networks. We're live online right now. Got people watching us all over the United States and even foreign countries. Do you know we're able to send out witnessing teams every week? We're able to bless people you will never know of. We're able to partner with certain organizations in the local area that bless people. We were able to send a truckload of stuff to Western North Carolina. Now they're working another offering for Western North Carolina. We're able to bless 4 different missionaries who were coming through this church in the past 2 months. We were able to send out missionaries. We're able to send evangelists. Doug Eccles just went to Pakistan, and we helped him get there huge. And he called me and he said 125,000 people gave their lives to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Get that religious mindset out of your life that God wants you broke. Get it out. It's something that was fed you through a false humility down through the years. Get it out. God wants to bless you to have enough to accomplish the assignment that's on your life and to have more than just enough to pay your light bill. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, if you be evil, and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? God wants you to bless and be able to give and be able to accomplish what he's called you to do in life. Second reason he wants you to prosper is he wants you to provide for your family. He wants you to provide for your family. He wants you to provide for your family. Paul told Timothy, he said, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. God's called us. I'm going to put the onus on the men. Men, God's called us especially to provide for our families. And I've been in some super tight situations in my life because I stepped out and did some radical things for God that required risk, and it required me to risk everything I had. But I'm telling you, God never failed me. I've been there and prayed, Lord, what do I do? Which bill do I pick to pay right now? If you've never been there, thank God, because that's not a fun place to be. But I've been there. How am I going to make it? I'm going to have to consolidate debt. I'm going to have to do, I've been through that stuff. I'm telling you. But men, God wants you, and he's going to bless you and give you the ability to provide for your family. One man said, God wants you to have enough finances to provide everything your loved ones need for their success. How can we set up our family to where they are successful? Our spouse, our kids. How can we do that? God wants us to provide for our families. Now, it's interesting. When Paul was teaching Timothy this in 1 Timothy 5, it was in the context of what the church should do to help people. And he came and was talking about widows. And if you study the ethics ethos of the early church, they pooled their resources and helped everyone in the book of Acts chapter 2. But when he was talking about the care of widows in the church, Paul said, teach those who are in the church that they first must take care of their own family. Because we used to help anyone who came to the door with a certain offering. We had a set amount. And we started noticing people would come in a tricked out SUV, nails done, and an iPhone with bling on it, and ask us for $50. We realized very quickly we were getting ripped off. And it wasn't the proper use of God's money. So we stopped doing it. And we started helping other local organizations. Now, we still help people, but I'm telling you, some people believe they can just pull on organizations or pull on the church or pull on whatever and not provide for their own family. It's a hard word, but it's a good word, amen? God's given you something that you can do. He's given you a talent. He's given you an ability, something that you can do to help provide for your family. And God's talented and gifted you women just the same. I was just kind of punching the men in the gut for a minute, okay? But God's gifted you the same. I believe women can do whatever God calls them to do. You're in a church that doesn't restrict women in one iota. In our denomination, we ordain women. Women can pastor. Women can serve on conference boards and do whatever a man can do. We've never had any rule against that since our foundation in the early 1900s. Women were preaching in the holiness movement. Women were preaching in the Pentecostal movement. If it wasn't for the women, we wouldn't have had church sometimes. God wants you to prosper so you can take care of your family. Everybody say, ouch, or oh me. Number three, God wants you to prosper so that you can leave a blessing for future generations. Maybe some of you can't even see that far. I know I couldn't at one time. I couldn't even see, like how are we going to do that, Lord? But listen, the Bible says in Proverbs 13:22, a good man, how many of you want to be good men? There's four of you. How many of y'all want to be good men? Come on, guys. I want to be called a good man, don't you? Well, the Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. That means the grandkids. But the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. God wants a good man to leave an inheritance for his children's children. A good man to leave an inheritance for his children's children. And it doesn't take much sometimes. It doesn't take much sometimes. I'll tell you the story. I had a grandfather that before he died, he sat down and wrote out in detail what he wanted all of his kids to have and all 20 grandchildren. And he left me 10 shares of stock in a bank. And it might have been worth, I don't know, was it worth $10 a piece maybe back in those days, which would have been, this was in the 1970s. Well, I don't have millions in stock, but I'm telling you, that stock has grown to hundreds of shares of stock. It was a small something, but it's been pretty nice. Somebody shout, it's nice to have something pretty nice, amen? So I think in America, I've been guilty of this, I think our fault is we believe and think prosperity should come immediately. We think, I'm gonna invest in a company and I want to see a return in the next 6 months or I'm done. Well, read somebody like Warren Buffett who says you gotta have a long-term view. $10 can become thousands of dollars many years down the road. So to be able to leave an inheritance for your children's children is not as impossible as maybe you think it is right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all getting quiet on me in this Pentecostal church, but God wants you to prosper. Fourth thing, he wants you to prosper to be able to give more and more. He wants you to prosper to be able to give more and more. Because some people are selfish about money. They just want to spend it upon themselves. But God commanded everything in his creation to multiply. He commanded everything in his creation to grow and let it be expansive. He even designed us to where as we grow in life, we should become wiser. We should know more. We should become more skilled the older we get. Those gray hairs cost something. Come on, hallelujah. They should be worth something. You get older, you are wiser, you're able to hand down to the next generation what you know. It's the way God's designed creation. And I think money is the same. I believe God wants to bless us. And I really have noticed people that I've worked with in church for years who God has really blessed. And it's amazing. They caught it at some point that I'm being blessed so I can be a blessing. They caught that revelation at some point that God has blessed me so I can give it away and help others. And then they get caught in that blessing cycle. That the more they give, the more God pours it on them. But the man who sits out here and squeezes Abraham Lincoln to where he's screaming and won't let go of anything is going to live with his cold, dead hands holding on to Abraham's beard. But the man who learns to release, see, money is like water. I grew up riding motorcycles in the mountains. And so we would ride these old coal mining strip jobs. And some of these roads hadn't been touched in years. And the mud puddles would gather up there. And sometimes we would go right through it and hit one on our bikes. And maybe that water had been staying there stagnant for weeks. And it smelled like sewage. And it would spray all over you. That's what happens to stagnant water. But we also would ride where there were mountain streams flowing fresh, coming down. I remember one stream in particular. This is, you know, country, so we would stop and drink from it. I don't know what kind of bacteria we were taking in, but it must have helped us, hallelujah. But we would sit down and drink from the water, and it was so clear and so cold and so beautiful and so refreshing because it was flowing. Here's a word from heaven. God has not called you to be a hoarder. He's called you to be a giver. Ouch. He's not called you to be a hoarder. He's called you to be a giver. He's not called you just to hold up this fortress of wealth and never be able to give it. But I can guarantee you one thing. There's a Bible principle that when you start giving, God's going to give you more and more and more and more. I love Brother Ted Shuttlesworth. He's been with us many times. And Dana and I were in a meeting a year ago with him. And it was his camp meeting. And he said, he came up to the, I think it was a morning service. He came up to the microphone and he said, you know what? I realized how much money I'm going to need to do all the television, do all the crusades and tent meetings. And it's going to cost, I mean, way up there. And he said, when I looked at my bank account, I realized I had $50,000, $70,000. I forgot what the figure was. I don't even have enough. This doesn't compare to what I need to do this year. So I decided to give it all away. He said, I want you to write your name down and everybody hand in a card with your name and address on it. I'm going to send you an offering. I'm going to drain this bank account right now. We got home and we received an offering for a couple hundred dollars. He drained it all out because he learned the principle that the only way I'm going to get to be able to put out what I need to this year and bless people is if I give and I release it from my hand. Oh. I'm under conviction right now. Amen? When you give, so let me give you some scriptures. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. God designed the plant kingdom with an abundance principle built in it. That in one seed is many different fruit. Or in one seed are many different branches. In one seed, he designed it in an abundance mentality. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 11, for the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and your needy in your land. This is a command. You shall give. You shall give. I already quoted it, but Proverbs 19, 17. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. And he will pay back what he has given. There's a principle of abundance in the scripture. Proverbs 11, 24. There is one who scatters, yet increases more. You hear that? There's one who scatters, who sows seed, yet increases more. And there's one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. Let's walk through this one again. There's one who there's one who gives and increases more, but there's one who withholds more than is right, and it leads to poverty. In the Bible, Jesus cursed the barren fig tree. We'll deal with this in another sermon, but in the Bible, Jesus told a parable of a man who gave talents, and he blessed the most, the man who did the most with what he was given. Abraham grew wealthier and wealthier and wealthier. So let's stop just thinking about me and mine and start thinking about the various ways God would use us to bless and sow more and more and more. And I guarantee you, when you do that, it's going to break off that spirit of poverty. That's all I know to tell you. I'm not a financial expert. You got those guys out there in abundance. I'm a Bible teacher. That's what I do. Here's a Bible principle. You give, God's going to bring it back to you. And when you give, and God's going to get you in a blessing cycle. He's going to get you in a blessing cycle. And once you get in that cycle, it's going to break the spirit of poverty off of your life. It's going to break the spirit of poverty off of your life. I'm blessed to be part of a conference of churches, and God has blessed us, and we've had great leadership in this, so I'm not speaking negatively of anything that's happened before. But me and several others did notice that when I came into this leadership, that I said one of the things we have to do is break off any sense of poverty among our churches. And so the first thing I did is I said, we're going to have a conference, and we're going to pay the guys if they'll come. How we're going to do it is we're going to help you with your hotel room. If you'll come, we'll help you with your hotel room. And then I'm not going to nickel and dime you and beg you for money. If you notice in this church, we raise money for very few things. We stopped all that nickel and diming years ago because I said we're going to operate on blessing. We're going to operate on faith. And God has blessed us. Some people can't believe how we bless people who come in here. But you know what? I knew this before I came here. And when we came here, somebody asked me one time, said, we're going to have an evangelist. What do you think we should pay him? I said, I think we should take offerings and let the Lord do it. Because I knew that question was going to limit. It's a limiting question. I said, we're not going to limit. We're going to let God do what he does. And we were able to bless so much that we were all like, what? What? Hallelujah. 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 Did y'all get anything out of this today? God wants you to be blessed. Break down that religious mindset. Because I've had to work through it in my life. That's why I'm preaching on Hans here. I had to work through it. You know, if you want something nice. You have to wrestle through all this religious tradition to get to the nice. Or you think, well, if God just blesses me with just enough to squeak by, I'm going to be, boy, that's going to be holy. No, really wants to bless you in abundance so you can give to somebody else. My dad told me this years ago. He said, a lot of people trash businesses and business owners. And there have been unrighteous people. There's unrighteous people in every sector of society. But my dad said, there's a local college near us. He said, go to that college. And my dad went to school there. And he said, walk the campus and look at the buildings and see who they're dedicated to. Every one of them was a generous business owner that had given out of their abundance to somebody else so they could go to school. It happened because they honored that principle of giving and blessing. Amen? Dana and I are determined to see the spirit of poverty broken off Elizabeth City, North Carolina. We're determined to see this happen. We got some of the most beautiful property on planet Earth. Rivers, fields, windmills. We got some of the most beautiful people on planet Earth. Look at your neighbor and say, ain't that right? Hallelujah. Why not be blessed? We have friends. I've told this story. I'm going to tell it again. We have friends in Florida who moved to an area on the panhandle of Florida 40 years ago, and it was the poorest county in the state of Florida. Jane and Tom Hammond and Tom's dad, Bill, they moved there, and they said there was so much witchcraft, there was so much bad happening, that they just started walking the streets and praying and declaring the blessings of God. Now that area is the second wealthiest county in the state of Florida, the number one most desirable beach in the state of Florida. It's Highway 30A. I'd never been there. We went there a few months ago, and I was like, dog, this is nice. Well, they had special privilege. No, they went down there and had to drive 45 minutes to a gas station. Well, there must have been some wealthy people. Get that out of your mind. Get that entitlement thing out of your mind. You have the blessing in you. Come on, point to yourself and say, it's in me. He's blessed me. Amen? He's blessed me. My grandpa used to tell, he would take all of his sons to college, and to them to go to college was the greatest thing in his life, because he worked hard and came up in abject poverty. And he worked and fired furnaces and swept floors of a Presbyterian school so he could go to college. He left out of a certain county in Southwest Virginia. They were so poor that they had 13 kids living on a farm, and he said the slats in the walls were so big that in the winter the snow would blow in and just cover them up in bed. And so when he was 13, he and his brother decided, we're leaving. They had one can of tomatoes between them, and they left with one can of tomatoes. They worked in the woods with loggers, and eventually worked in coal mines, and had worked his way through college and became the most outstanding student of his graduating class. And he told all my uncles and my dad when he went to school, here you are. There's a lot of people here smarter than you. But you all have 24 hours in the day, so get after it. So get after it. Look at your neighbor and say, I got a little bit more than a can of tomatoes. And I got the same 24 hours in a day. Come on, let's all stand. Hey, it's such an honor to have you join us for service. I pray the word was a blessing to you. And I pray you avail yourselves to the resources we have online. And if you're ever in the Elizabeth City area, or I mean Outer Banks or Tidewater, Virginia, make the drive. Come visit us one Sunday. We would love to welcome you here, and you can experience this yourself. As one man used to say, can't be explained, can only be experienced. There's some truth into that. Anyhow, thank you for watching. I pray the Lord will bless you and that you grow in your faith and fulfill the call that God has on your life. We here at Fountain of Life love you.